Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you're now tuned in to the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So one of the things I want to sit back and analyze with you guys and girls, as you can see, we're going to be talking about why I only own 10 stocks. So the first thing we're going to get into, we're going to talk about diversification. We're going to talk about edge, sectors of the market, and we're going to listen to a clip of Warren Buffett on diversification that changed everything for me. And we're also going to talk about index funds too. So the big thing that I wanted to bring up on that, ladies and gentlemen, was I used to, you know, I'm currently an asset management specialist student, right? And doing an asset management specialist, they always talk about diversification. Hey, make sure you diversify. I know people who own 30, 40, 50 different positions in their portfolio or whatever the case may be, and that's fine. So it was all fine and dandy. You know, we're taught the education system. You know, if you go through school with financial education, if you're getting a Series 65 or any type of investment license, any type of education on investment and finance, you're always taught to diversify. Spread out over different markets, diversify, all of the great stuff. So it was one time when I watched the clip and I learned about, diversification. So before I get to that, if y'all catching it live, don't forget to say hey to everybody. Hey out there. Oh, Thomas Freeman, how you doing today, sir? Thank you for tuning in live. I'm live here on Facebook and going to be doing a premiere back on YouTube for the people that are catching this live on YouTube right now or that will be watching this video. So here we go. The first thing I want to get into is diversification versus diversification. Hopefully I didn't spell that wrong, but I think it came out pretty good. Diversification versus diversification. And when you hear this terminology, diversify, we always talk when you got that stock portfolio, hey, make sure you got some real estate, make sure you got some healthcare, make sure you got some tech, make sure you got some energy, make sure you got some communications, utilities, consumer staples, everybody. You know why? Why you taught to diversify? We're taught to diversify to lessen our risk. Lessen your risk by diversifying. So, like, look at Uber, for example. Nobody's taking rides, but guess what? Everybody's using Uber Eats. Well, I'm not saying everybody, but people can use Uber Eats. So diversify. Makes sense, right? But what is diversification? What is diversification? What does that mean, right? And when people say diversification, we want to know, greetings, what's going on? What's going on there? What's going on, Mario? So what's good, King? What's going on? Now, the problem is when we get down to diversification. What is diversification? There is a concept of when you over-diversify. What does that mean? For prime example, I know a bunch of people who own Southwest Airlines, they own Delta Airlines, and they own American Airlines. You ask yourself that question. If you already have the airline sector, if the airline sector get hit, that whole portfolio goes down. So something they like to call correlation efficiency. How much do these companies correlate? Hey, I have Walmart, I got Target, I got Apple, Microsoft, and I have American Airlines, United Airlines, and whatever the case may be. If you look at that, you notice, hey, Walmart and Target are in the same sector. Apple and Microsoft are in the same sector. American Airlines, Southwest Airlines, all those companies are in the same sector. So a person could think they're diversifying, but really they're centralizing if they do the research, right? Hey, I own the airlines, and plus I own Boeing. If you do your research, you'll find out, guess who's buying the airplanes from Boeing? Airlines. And guess what? As soon as the airline industry got hit, so did Boeing. So your whole portfolio is not that diversified. Now, what changed my mind on the world of diversifying? I'm going to play a clip here. I want you guys and girls to tune in very good. You know, I always go to the greatest investor of all time, Warren Buffett. I went and saw, this is a clip I came across a couple years ago. And when I saw this, it changed everything. Give me one second. When I saw this, it changed everything when it came down to the world of investing, right? And what I mean by did it change everything? It changed everything. Why did it change everything? Because it made me look at diversification totally different. So I'm going to go in here and I'm going to pull up a clip and I want you guys and girls to listen to this, right? I'm going to play a clip. This is Warren Buffett on diversification, right? This is from one of his annual meetings. Looked like it was probably the late 90s, early 2000s. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know when it was, but I know it's one of his annual meetings years ago. He looks a whole lot younger. And he just looks older footage. So here we go. I'm going to play it. Oh, let me make sure I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to play it at the same time. So y'all tune in to hear what Warren Buffett has to say about diversification.
We think diversification is, as practice generally, makes very little sense for anyone that knows what they're doing.
Y'all give me one second. Give me one second. Let me make sure I turn it up. Make sure I got the right audio. I forgot to switch over my audio. Here we go. Make sure y'all got it.
Here we go. I'm going to play it again. Take it back.
We think diversification is, as practice generally, makes very little sense for anyone that knows what they're doing. Diversification is a protection against ignorance. I mean, if you want to make sure that nothing bad happens to you relative to the market, you own everything. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that is a perfectly sound approach for somebody who does not feel they know how to analyze businesses. If you know how to analyze businesses and value businesses, it's crazy to own 50 stocks or 40 stocks or 30 stocks probably, because there aren't that many wonderful businesses that are understandable to a single human being in all likelihood. And to have some super wonderful business and then put money in number 30 or 35 on your list of attractiveness and forego putting more money into number one just strikes Charlie and me as madness. And it's conventional practice, and it may, you know, if all you have to achieve is average, may preserve your job, but it's a confession in our view that you don't really understand the businesses that you own. As on a personal portfolio basis, you know, I own one stock, you know, but it's a business I know and it leaves me very comfortable. You know, do I need to own 28 stocks in order to, you know, have proper diversification? You know, be nonsense. And within Berkshire, I could pick out three of our businesses, and I would be very happy if they were the only businesses we owned, and I had all my money in Berkshire. Now, I love it, the fact that we can find more than that, and that we keep adding to it. But three wonderful businesses is more than. It's more than you need in this life to do very well. And
all right. So there you go, guys and girls and children of all ages. Oh, turn this back on. My microphone back on.
There we go. So you heard it from Warren Buffett himself on diversification. He said, hey, if you really properly know how to analyze a business and you know how to read financial reports and you know what you're doing, why would you spread your money over 30 different companies? If you knew three companies that you knew very well and you analyzed it, you knew what you was doing very well, why would you own 30, 40 different companies? He said, that's a classic example if you don't know what you're doing. And he said, most people that do that are people who are doing that because they don't know what they're doing. For a prime example, they want to sound smart or whatever the case may be. Y'all give me one second here. You know? Okay. Oh, we got Kev. So I'm finally catching live Facebook Live. No problem. No problem, Kev. Nice to see you. Yeah. What's going on, Kev? So y'all give me one second. Let me, I forgot to bring my charger. Give me one second. So for the people that are coming in now, we just played a clip of what Warren Buffett was talking about when he spoke about diversification, right? And when he said that, he was saying, hey, look, if you really know what you're doing and you know how to analyze a business, why would you diversify? If you know five companies very well, why would you diversify? People that diversify is like, hey, let me own a little bit of everything to lessen my exposure, right? So this is one of the things. When I heard that, I said, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Why do I need to own 30, 40, 50 companies? Why can't I sit back and pull out 10? Stick to 10. Now, you heard Warren Buffett say that, hey, you only need three, right? Well, I mean, that's to each his own. But I say, well, why not analyze the 10? People send me their portfolio, and I see people in their portfolio have 100, 200 stocks. So why not centralize in what you really know and focus on that? That's pretty much what he was saying. That a lot of people diversify because they don't know what they're doing. So, which is perfectly fine. It's a perfectly good strategy, right? So now let's get into something that's more simpler. When you break it down, there are only 11 sectors of the market. If you know what those sectors are, comment. But there's only the market, the stock market only breaks down to 11 sectors. So if you own 20, 30, 40, 50 stocks, it's a great indicator that those sectors could be connected somehow, right? So let's look at the sectors of the market. You got financial, industrial, technology, healthcare, consumer distribution, material, comms, or communication, energy, real estate, consumer staples, utilities. Now you have some breakouts in there with like transportation, or you may can say cyber or whatnot, but cyber is kind of thrown in with technology, right? So that's the thing about it. You have other subsectors, but those are your major sectors of the market. So a person may go in and say, well, you know what? Let me get the top stock in every sector. If you do that, you might as well just get an index fund, right? But if you know what you're doing, that's what you got to think about. All right, let's see what Kev said. Thoughts on Zoom. I got in around March, and man, I'm tempted to unload. This is the thing I don't like about Zoom. I haven't looked at the fundamentals of the company, but this thing I don't like. I don't like hot stocks that start to run up at a good time. For prime example, people will jump into, oh, wow, Zoom is a good business. It's doing very well. But guess what, Kev? Guess what just happened? Facebook itself just came out and created a competition. That's what's going to happen. Instagram is going to do that. Facebook is going to do that. What's stopping from other companies, from Microsoft, have telecommunications? All it's going to do is bring in more competition. And from what I know, Zoom is a one-trick pony. And that's not somebody I want to play with, right? I would have to look into that space to see the top thing, but I don't like fads. I feel like it's a fad that is easy to jump into. As you saw, Facebook is created where you can create your own groups in Zoom. Microsoft has something. I won't be surprised who else comes out with one either. Twitter or whatever the case may be. So, you know, yes, hot stock, good time for telecommunication. But I know television station shows that I shoot, I've used Zoom, but I'm not crazy about it. The market is too competitive. And I haven't done the finances on it, but that's my quick thinking of why I never really ran to Zoom. Maybe a hot time for it. Then once the economy opens back up and this pandemic and all the riots slow down and towards the fall year, where will Zoom be? Will it still be relevant, right? So because right now, Facebook has billions of users. Zoom, how many users does Zoom currently have subscribed to it? So Facebook does everything to keep you here. You got Facebook Marketplace. You got the Facebook store. It's doing everything to keep you here. So I wouldn't be too crazy on that myself. So when you look at these sectors, when you look at the sectors of the market, if you own stocks, it's very, you know, if you own 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 stocks or whatever the case may be, it's a strong indicator of you saying, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm going to go all over the place. Because if you knew of your heart of hearts, Apple is trading for $300, and if I knew in my heart of hearts Apple was going to be $1,000 by the end of the year, I would put everything I owned in Apple. But I don't know that, right? So guess what? You don't put everything into it. Why don't you put everything into it? Because of that. You know, Kev said, interesting, thanks. I may do stop limit. Trailing stop. Remember that, trailing stop. A trailing stop works when you have a stock, right? And you're saying trail it by 1%. If this stock drops more than 1% or 2% or 3%, get me out. A trailing stop might be the way to go. So as long as the stock is going up, you can stay with it. But if it drops more than 5%, you can put a trailing stop in there to sell. So that's the thing that we have to look at, right? When we look at the world, when we look at the world of investing, the market is only broken down into 11 sectors. I'm sorry about that. 11 sectors. So what I'm saying is that, why is that important? Because a lot of the things that you're investing in, you're probably investing into the same market twice. Like, oh, I own Apple and Microsoft. Okay, those both are in technology. I own Bank of America and JP Morgan. Those are both in the same sector. I own Southwest and Delta. Why not just find the best airline company you know and pick Southwest and move on, right? I'm not saying that's the best one, but you pick one, or Delta or whatever it is, right? Now, here's the thing. This is another thing about diversification. Everybody that's tuning in has an edge. This was a concept that I got introduced by Lars Croger, hedge fund manager, Lars Croger. This book here called Investing Demystified. I probably put the link to this book below. He's been on the show once or twice, hedge fund manager, Harvard guy for a long time, and he sits on the board for a couple of hedge funds. So the thing he broke out in his book is called Edge. And he pretty much stated that, hey, look, don't buy a stock, buy an index fund, unless you feel like you have an edge on the market. If you know something very well, because, hey, you're in the military and you know about cybersecurity, or you work in the music industry, you know about Disney, entertainment industry, you know about Disney, you know how the competitive advantage of Disney. Or if you work in the beverage industry and you know about a new drink company, or the retail industry, you heard about this thing called Amazon, or you're a social media agency, you know about this new company out called, I don't know, TikTok or whatever the case may be, then don't invest. Don't buy a stock, buy the index. Buy the index unless you feel like you have an edge over what the market already knows. This is a concept called efficient and inefficient markets, right? An efficient market theory believes that the market has already priced everything in. They just a person who probably go buy index fund, forget about it. An inefficient market theorist is someone who believes the market is not efficient and that some things are very undervalued, right? And the only way you're going to know something very undervalued unless you have an edge, having an edge over everybody else. Nobody knows about cybersecurity, but I know about a company called Frontnet, or I know about a company called CrowdStrike, or whatever the case may be, because you work very close to the industry. You work very close with Lockheed Martin. You work very close with Boeing, or you work in the airline industry. Don't invest unless you have an edge. And the likelihood that you have an edge over, if you know financial, technology, healthcare, consumers, material, comms, energy, real estate, is probably not very likely, right? So you find, like me, for example, I don't know energy very well. I don't know energy very well, so I kind of stay away from it. I don't have to get them all right. I just got to get a couple right. And let's take for a prime example. I may not know utilities very well. Energy, utilities, industrial, I don't really know that too well. Yes, I can learn it, but a lot of you guys and girls work in these industries. You work in a manufacturing company, and you know which manufacturing company is better than the next. That's when you should look at possibly investing, when you feel like you have an edge, right? Number five, if I don't know what's going on, you get an index fund, you forget about it. You grab the SPY or the QQQ. SPY is the S&P 500. QQQ is the QQQ is the NASDAQ, or you can get the DIA, which is the Dow Jones. Those are ETFs that tracks the major indexes. So you can say, hey, you know what? I don't know what's going on, man. I'm just grab the S&P 500 and forget about it. But if you got the S&P 500 index and you got 600, 700 stocks, when you look at the coefficient index, you're going to be able to see that. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. It's a coefficient. It's pretty much an indicator that tells you how much of the portfolio is correlated to each other, right? How diversified is this portfolio? You're going to realize you're probably not as diversified as you think. You got Coca-Cola and Pepsi and this. Why not just get Coca-Cola and forget about the rest? Take me, for example, the airline industry. I could have got an ETF called JETS, J-E-T-S, or I could have picked the individual company. I could have bid whatever. You know what? I picked one airline company, Southwest, forgot about it. So many other people got 50, 11, 30, you know, but it's very, it made a lot of sense to say, hey, look, if you know finances and you know how to evaluate a business, it's not that many great businesses out there. And if they're not that many great businesses out there, right? If it's not that many great businesses out there, why not just pick one, two, or three and just ride off into the sunset? That changed everything. That's why I keep my portfolio below 10 stocks. Because when I go over 10 stocks, I start evaluating, do I really know what's going on with these companies? Do I know the total revenue? Do I know the gross profits? Do I know the net profits? Do I know the debt? Do I know the revenue streams? Do I know the future? Do I know if they're profitable, their profitability? Do I know who their competitors are? Do I know this whole sector? And if you're going over 10, that's when I look at it and say, man, come on, do you really know all these companies? Do you know 100 companies, 120, 140 companies, revenue streams or whatnot? Why not just focus in and become great on what you are? Like, take me, for example, right? I'm not a great speller, but I can talk very well and I can communicate with people and I got very good people skills for the most part, right? But guess what? Either I can focus on my people skills or I can focus on what I'm not great at. If you're smart, some people will hire what they're not great at and focus on what they're great at to become better at, right? So, hey, you know what? Instead of me trying to figure all of this other stuff out, great. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hire somebody for that, hire somebody to do my marketing so I can focus on more investing because I'm good at that. So you stick it. You stick to what you know and you become great at what you know instead of trying to spread yourself out. It's like that old saying says, the jack of all trades, master of none. So master a couple companies that you know very well. And while you're mastering those companies, of course, better ones are going to come out. New ones are going to come out. Everything. Oh, you know what? Boom. We got the marijuana industry. Boom. We got cryptocurrency industry. We got all these new industries that's coming out. You got new companies and other stuff like that. But you master one, two, or three and just be good at that. Like, hey, you know what? I may not have the best people skills in the world, but this is what I'm great at. I can hire somebody else to do something else. So that was the thing about it, diversification versus diversification. Why I only own 10 shares. I like to focus in. If I get over 10, I start to reevaluate everything that I purchased because I feel like, hey, I'm probably over diversified or I probably don't really know what I'm doing here. Start to re-diversify. And probably when I get older, I'll probably do less than that. But that's the thing I want to kind of give you guys and girls because we always talk diversify, diversify, spread, 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 right? And then you can see where, hey, you know, Warren Buffett made me think and Charlie Munger made me think of diversification totally different. They said when somebody really diversifies, it's probably they don't know what they're doing. And they're trying to spread everything out so it can save their job. So I said, you know what? Hone in on what you know best. Some of you ladies and gentlemen work in retail. Some of y'all work in beauty supplies. Some of y'all work in social media marketing. Find the best companies in your field and focus on those because once you go over 10, learn everything about them. What are the revenue streams? Do they pay dividends? Who are the officers? How are they managing their debt? Is the debt increasing or decreasing? What's the property? What's the cash flow like? Is it a profitable company? Is it a non-profitable company? What do you know about this company? Who are the competitors? Kevin, I say it all the time. Kevin said, would you share the companies you have in your portfolio? Well, I just gave y'all one right there. I told y'all I had Southwest. I got Southwest. I got Berkshire Hathaway. I have Apple. Who else I got in there? I got to look. I got to do what's in my portfolio. You know what? I'll probably do a video on that. I'll probably do a show. What's in my portfolio? And it may shape. Sometimes I get thrown out, Kevin. Sometimes I'm like, man, Apple looks good, but Microsoft too. Apple and Microsoft. Maybe I just grab both, right? Or, ooh, Southwest Airlines look okay at a good time. Delta may look good, but whatever the case may be. But I told you guys and girls, the government has an invested interest in Southwest and Delta that I know of. I can't speak about everybody else because I picked the top three in the industry. You know, once Southwest goes over $36, it's profitable for the government because they have 5-year warranties on Southwest. I think Delta is at like 24, if I'm not mistaken, right? Wayne says, finally got on the live. Man, no problem, Wayne. I know I'm pretty sporadic when I do the live. I just like, hey, I'm going to do this live. I got to go do this or whatever the case may be. But today's topic, let's do a quick recap. We talked about diversification, right? First thing we talked about was diversification versus diversification. Sometimes diversifying is cool, but sometimes you can over-diversify. Because if you have more than 10 stocks in your portfolio, 20 or 30, you got the S&P 500, you got the NASDAQ, you already got tech exposure. But on top of the NASDAQ, you got Apple, you got that. And I find myself guilty of it sometimes. But once you get over 10 stocks, you got to reevaluate yourself and say, man, do I really know what I'm doing? Do I know everything about these companies? Uber is another one, Kev. You asked me, Uber is another one. You know, that's my little risky one to see if it makes it or not, or whatever the case may be. So that's the way I look at it. When you look at, I do have Google. Wesley does have Google. I do have Amazon, right? So you look at when you diversify, are you diversifying or you are over-diversifying? You can over-diversify. Why over-diversify when you can get the best in the industry? Why get so many retail? Why go get, I don't know, Amazon and Alibaba plus, you know, I can't think who was in the e-commerce space. Why not just get Amazon? That's it. I'm done with retail. Move on. The second thing we talked about, the second sector was we played a clip from Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett was the one that changed my whole outlook on the word diversification. As I've gone through school, y'all know I got my associates, my bachelor's, my master's, Series 65, Series 63, accredited financial counselor, life insurance and health insurance, and you know, the list just goes on. Certified financial educator. Now I'm in school for AAMS. So, and I always would talk diversifying, you know, learning how to use a bell curve, seeing all this, doing all these different formulas, how diversified is the portfolio, or whatnot, right? So, and then I heard Warren Buffett speak on it, and he spoke about why diversify if you really know what you're doing. The only people that diversify are people who are trying to spread out their risk because they don't know what they're doing. Not saying it's a bad thing, but if you really knew how to analyze a business, why not just put all your eggs into that one, two, or three companies? And he said, you only need like one, two, or three to do very well in this world. So changed my whole outlook on it. Number three, we talked about the sectors of the market. The sectors of the market. The market only breaks down to the financial industry, industrial, tech, healthcare, consumer discretionary, market material, communication, energy, real estate, consumer staples, and utilities. The market only breaks down into 11 sectors. So if you got a stock in every sector, you might as well just get the S&P 500 index and forget about it, right? And the only time you should buy outside of that was made by this book, Investing Demystified, Lars Croger, is if you figure you have an edge. If you think you know more than the market knows about a particular sector and you feel like the market got it wrong, that's when you should buy the company. If you feel like you have an edge. Hey, you work in public safety and you know about utilities, maybe you should look into the utility industry. You may have an edge over the average Joe Blow. I don't know that much about utilities. I don't know that much about the, industry either, the industrial industry or materials industry, right? So, but I do know some things very well. So stick to what you know, right? Number five, you're like, Prince, this is too much of me. Just get an index fund, forget about it. All right? So, Wayne says, did you hear about Delta buyout? Who's buying them out? I didn't hear about that. I did not hear about that. Y'all let me know what y'all, I did not see anything about Delta before I got on live. Okay. All right. So I didn't hear about a Delta buyout. I gotta look that up. Kevin said, I do like KL with dividend payout, but price seems to be up there already. Is it worth jumping into KL at point in time? I think KL is still a buy. KL is one of the top brands in the world. Coca-Cola, what KL is, ladies and gentlemen. That's the top, one of the top brands in the world. You know, that's one of the top five brands in the world. They can raise the price of Coca-Cola by 10 cents and nobody would even blink an eye. Very few companies can raise their price by 10% and nobody will blink an eye. Right? People would be like, soda costs, $1.70 or whatever. Okay, that might be a little pricey, but move on, right? So, no, I definitely think it's a great buy. It's one of the most solid American companies out there. That is, and it's a consumer staple. People are drinking Coca-Cola while they're riding. People are drinking Coca-Cola while the coronavirus is going on. People are drinking Coca-Cola when the economy is doing well, and people are drinking Coca-Cola when the economy is doing bad. So that's one of the most, that's a big consumer staple that's out there. Ooh. So I'm going to look, I got to get out of here. I got to get running. Thank you guys and girls for tuning in. I'm definitely going to look into this Delta buyout thing and into the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else y'all see me do around the globe. Peace. Be safe. Man, I got a little Afro going on too. I'm out. Thank you.